to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And to help us, maybe, you to do that which we are very familiar with. Each one of you, as we shared, have a head and a body, literally. And I can see your heads and your bodies. And your bodies are all in wonderful subjection to your head. I don't think there's one of you that don't have that, except if there was a physical problem. And all your bodies are in subject to your head. And so your head calls the shots, and your body is a servant to the will of your head, the desires of your head. Each of you were born with given parents in a given place at a given time. And you have grown up. And most of us are citizens of the United States, and here we are. And we live. We live in that in city, state, country. We live in that. And we function in it. And we function according to the rules and laws and the conveniences. We do that based on the economy, based on a whole lot of things. That we have in our country. And we use them and we exercise them, more or less. Now, and we do that. We're part of the citizenry, and we're part of the family of some kind. Now, so when you get saved, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God goes and does something wonderful for you. And in order to understand that, remember that when Christ died, when he died on the cross, he condemned you and counted you dead. He counted and condemned the world system as dead. He condemned it all. So all that I just told you about your head and about your body and about what you do, all that we just said, all of those things are condemned. Are they not? Try to find something that isn't condemned. Nations are condemned. Humans are condemned. Apart from God's grace and saving grace, God condemned it all. That's what he did. So therefore, we're going to be a bit slow in trying to salvage and save what he's condemned. So once I get that a little clearer in my head, I'm not too eager to go and try to, for my work, home, job, health, wealth, coming and going. It changes for me because it isn't about that. So I have to rethink everything. And God makes it, as we said in Ephesians 4:1, etc. He gives you a brand new vocation. Now, I'm going to try to capitalize if I can, if you had that little bit in your head and my head. Over in John chapter 17, using what we've been studying on Wednesday, we stopped in our study in Jeremiah just to catch up on, make sure we're praying properly and in power, taking advantage of prayer. It's a privilege to pray. John chapter 17, and picking up, if I may, in verse 18 directly. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So the Lord is about to go to the cross, and he is reminding the believers in the upper room and thereafter, like us, reminding that as he was in the world, sent by the Father, so we are to be in the world, sent by him to represent the Father. So that's our assignment. And God does something wonderful then to all my background, my body, everything. I have to rethink it all and get it in focus. And if I don't, being saved, I never, in this life anyway, I never catch up to what it meant to be a new creature in Christ. I never caught on. Lived my whole life a believer and never caught on to it. I missed it. So we don't want to miss it we don't want to miss it if we can help it. So as my Father sent me, so send I you. Now, keeping that in mind, and the head, the body, remember Christ the head, we're the body. Over, if you would, please, to chapter 14 of John. And in John chapter 14, picking up the thought, and we share together that we represent him, and that's our purpose, to represent him. And he represents the Father. So as we represent the Lord, we represent him, the Father. So now, John chapter 14, going directly, if I may, in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, not greater in quality, in quantity, because the reason I go to my Father. Now, what's going to happen? And, verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. What? Why? That the Father may be glorified. Where? In the Son. So, we're going to be able to do wonderful things, works, the quantity. God is going to evidence by his words and work, which he did in his own life before he went to the cross. And so we're going to go and represent him. As my Father sent me, so send I you. In verse 13, and whatever you shall ask. Now the word, the little verb to ask, has to do with four little words that you want to stay with. Does the desire of thy will, the desire of a person's will. So when you spell A-S-K biblically in here, you're looking at the desire of a person's will. So whatever you ask, whatever you're willing in here, in your heart and mind, you're willing something. That's underlined. You're willing something. You're willing it. You want wishing it as much as you're willing it. Now, so what are we willing? If you ask anything in your will, in my name, that will I do. I will do that in my name, which you ask, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And again, verse 14, you shall ask anything in my name, and I will do it. So we have a wonderful, wonderful as the Father sent the Son, so he sends us. And we are to go and exercise his wonderful name, purpose, essence, nature, being. And we're to do that to glorify the Father and the Father's will. So that's what we're looking for, the Father's will. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, asking for the Father's will, over, if you would, please. So we're going to do that in his name. And, back over to chapter 17 for a minute. Chapter 17. And keep in mind now, because you want to have all the pieces all the time, as much as you can, and then you add to them. If you have pieces and you lose them, and you get a new piece, it doesn't connect. So you want to go over and over and over pieces, and they get really stuck together. And they stay there. Why? Because God wants them to stay there. God wants you to be equipped, etc., enlarged, as we shared in 6 o'clock. So now, chapter 17, in verse 21, that they all may be one, the purpose of all this, as thou art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, head in the body, oneness, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So that the world's going to look and see the believing heart, and the believing heart is going to represent the head, the Lord Jesus, and the world is going to understand something. And God is going to assure that that is going to work. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, and the reason always the same, that they may be one, like even as we are one, as the Father is to the Son honors the Father, so the body honors the head. And in verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, purpose, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. So all of it is there. So they're going to see the humans, believers, and the human believers are going to represent the Son. And in representing the Son, then the world is going to be exposed to the Father. Because as they understand the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to bring us to the Father. And the Father is going to make himself known in a wonderful way. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so capitalizing on that a little bit, over, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, and in chapter 2. Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. And you remember now, this is the first recorded words of the Lord. I said all kinds of, but this is the first recording words of the Lord, so you want to pay keen attention when anything is first. You always look in the first of something, because that sets the pace of whatever it's going to be. So now, here's Luke chapter 2, picking up. And you recall that he's in the temple, etc. And they're all asking him questions, and he answering the questions. Verse 47, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Remember, they are looking for him. And thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. We've been all looking all over for you, and your father and I. Now immediately, they know better. They know better. But they know that, but that's a thing that we would normally humans to say, the father and I. But it has to be corrected. So therefore you go to verse 49. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? How, in what manner? Why, in what way have you sought me to seek me out, to search me out? What is it you're after for? What are you looking for? Did you not know? Have you not known? You have known before. You, literally, pluperfect. You have known before. Wist not that I must be about my Father's business? You have known that I am about my Father's business. That's what you have known. Now you're asking me, you use the expression, your Father and I, but that is not correct. I have been about my Father's business at age 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm in my Father's business. Now, hang on to that. That I must be about my Father's business. And my Father is God. So there's no question that you know, and that it is necessary, I must, M-U-S-T, it is absolutely necessary, needful, it is my duty, I am obligated totally, I must be about my Father's business. I must be about it. That's what I'm doing. I have a duty, I have a responsibility, I have a relationship, and I need to exercise that because my Father, I represent my Father. I'm a son, I represent the Father. Now, and as we're doing now, remember, hang on to that, and verse 50, then they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And now we'll stop there for time's sake. Now, I must be about, verse 49, my Father's business. Okay, so hang to what we've just been doing of late. over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12, reminding you. Matthew chapter 12. And you remember his mother and half-sisters and half-brothers came looking for him. And, if I can, Matthew 12, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother, his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one of them said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand outside, without, and they want to talk to you. They want to have a word with you. Verse 48. But he answered and said unto them, who is my mother and who are my brethren? He's going to correct the person that brought that message. Verse 49. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. And he just swung his hand. Now, behold, all those people, men, women, children, are all there. Behold my mother and my brethren. But then he qualifies it. What do you mean? All of them? Hold it. No. Verse 50. Whosoever, how do you get qualified to be in the family like that? Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same as my brother, sister, and mother. They belong to the family. Who does? Those that do the will of God. What are we supposed to be doing as the body? We're supposed to be honoring the head. What does the head do? He honors the Father's will. He honors the Father's will. And that's what he does. Back over where you're here, over to the Gospel of John and chapter 4. So, behold, my mother, family. So, it was wonderful to be born, more or less, to your family. You all are products of a male and female family of some kind, and have all of that. Now, you could have the very best family in the world or the very worst family in the world. But whatever family you have, it is evaporating and disappearing. True? Now, you say, I don't understand. Well, when you hit, just use your imagination, when you hit 110, how's that? Imagination. How many people do you think are going to be alive that you are related to? Right now. When you reach 110, they're all gone. Just you. That's what happens when you get old. All the people you knew keep dying. And pretty soon you're there. You're there. And the gas station attendant, the doctor, everyone's all gone. And just you, I mean. So now, here you are. And so, everything you have, all the relationships we just tried to mumble out here, all of those relationships are only temporary and only flesh and blood and only for a moment. Now, God, what have you done when I came to know you as my Savior, when we come to know you as our Savior? What have you done that's so extraordinary, wonderful? I have gone and taken, because I've condemned it all, and you get saved, and you understand I condemned it all. So you aren't trying to save anything, because you can't save what I've condemned. So now you're free to learn that I have placed you in a unique, wonderful relationship to who I am. And in that relationship, we're going to state that relationship in two words called eternal life. I give unto you eternal life. Eternal life is in my Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath no life. So I have gone and placed you in a unique relationship to me. Everything else is going that you're trying to hang on to. But this one isn't. So what do I want to know? I want you to learn to do my wonderful will. Because you see, all the rest of it's gone. And I've given you the privilege to exercise on planet Earth a unique relationship to me that is going to go in what? It's going to be translated into heaven. And my work in your heart, is for there. I'm doing it here. It's going to be carried there. So what I'm doing isn't whether how good you did your job or your work or your family or anything else. Well, how much work did I do in your life to change you from one degree of glory to another? How much work did I do? That's what I'm after. But no, I'm not after how school went or work or your health. I'm after, did I produce in you what I'm after? That's what I want to know. Now, so here I am. We have a brand new head and a body. And we are, John chapter 4, and picking up in verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So as my Father sent me, so send I you. And you said, God, if anyone will do my will, then you are. We're so related to you as brother, sister, mother, that we have a unique relationship to you. And all of our family, human-wise, is going to disappear. But it isn't with you. So, God, you did something to establish and sustain us as we age, as we go through time, as we see the deterioration of all relationships, government and worldwide, as we see them take place, we are stimulated and stirred and safe on stable because we have a relationship to you. And that relationship is only going to get better, not worse, only better. So God, as we rest on you with all our heart, we're able to hang in there because we aren't counting on it. And when we start counting on things of the world, we're in trouble. Work, home, school, job, people. No, we're in trouble, God. We can't count on that. You said, cursed be the person that did so. So, God, we don't want to do that. So we want to exercise what we're supposed to. So, God, you made us. You are about your Father's business all the way to Calvary's cross. And when you go to the garden at noon, you're going to cry out for 3 hours, as it were, my God, what? Why hast thou forsaken me? And then when you're done, you're going to say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. In fact, I say it at the end and at the beginning. Father, 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 forgive them, for they know not what they do. So I say, Father at the front, Father at the back, in the middle. So God, what are we doing? We have a unique relationship to you as the Lord Jesus Christ outworks the will of God, and that outworking of the will of God is now. So we are to represent him, or to walk in newness of life. We're new creatures in Christ. We are to represent him in an extraordinary, ordinary, wonderful way in this world. And so in doing so, as you are about the Father's business, so we are about your business as your body, as sons. And you can't be, if he's the son and he's a head, then the body has to belong to that. And the body has to be a son to the head. The head can't have a son and something else down below. The whole thing is a son. This is the Son of God. Christ is the body is the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to be sons. And now I know it says that. Yes, it does. But you know we have to understand why it says it. Why does the Spirit of God, present tense, Galatians 4:6, why does the Spirit of God continually say, present tense, Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father? Why does he keep saying that? So that I understand that's what my relationship is, and I want to exercise it because it's a brand new thing. I never had that. I was trusting people, persons, places, job, work, home. And I was looking at that, trying to make everything come out okie dokie. But it isn't. It isn't that at all. So now I want to be about my Father's business. So therefore, as his family, as his sons, representing the Son as the Father sent me, so send I you. So representing him, I have to be about the Father's business. I have to be about it. I don't have any choice. So I want to understand that. So I want to show a little exercise then. The Father's business. While he was in, we just read verse 34. My meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So that's the wonderful, wonderful purpose of our Lord, to exercise all the way to the cross and beyond his wonderful will. So now, over if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we need to be in the Father's business. And just a little bit on each thing, if I can, if I can do it. And so we're reminded. We're in business. You say, what's your business? Well, I do this and do that. And but that's just my advocation to get money to pay the rent and gas money and everything. But that isn't my reason for being alive. My reason for being alive is to represent the Lord Jesus. I'm in the business. I'm in the business of my Father. Are you? That's what I am. I'm alive, to serve my Father as a son. If you're saved, shouldn't that be the same? That's why you're alive, to serve the Father's will. Nothing else. And when you do that, God takes care of everything. You know John 6, without turning there, John 6, 31, 32. And there, the world is busy trying to survive and everything and eat, get clothing and food and survive and succeed. But you don't do that because you have a heavenly Father who knoweth what you need, and he knows ahead of time, and your Father takes care of you. The world isn't taken care of. The believers are. So all of a sudden, the burdens of having to my job and security and everything in this life isn't so heavy anymore. Because it isn't that essential to me. It wasn't to our Lord. It wasn't to our Lord. He had no place to lay his head. He could have been like some people and built several houses and castles and had little places of retreats and everything. He could have had an IRA, not an IRA, FAA or something. And he could have had all kinds of things. And whatever. And he could have died, but he didn't do any of that. Nope. Well, what kind of fellow was he? Perfect. Perfect. He understood. So what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to understand. God has done something wonderful for us and made us part of his family. We sing the hymn, Family of God, a little hymn. And in the process, 1 Corinthians 3, picking up, if I can, in verse 9. We are laborers, co-laborers, 3 and 9, together with God. That's right. That's right. He's doing work and I'm working. And as the Father is in Christ, so God the Father is in the believing heart. And we represent the Son as a Son. And we are God's husbandry, God's cultivated garden, and we are God's building, etc., etc. So God, it's a very personal thing you're doing. That's correct. That's correct. You are involved in my thinking, said God, as a garden of planting and developing and growing. I take care of my garden. You're my building. You're my son. I'm doing that. You're my a branch in my vine. Boy, pretty close, aren't they? All of them are close. That's right. I'm doing that. So as you trust me and go, as my Father sent me, so send I you. And as we're going, we're going to carry on the business. So we're in the business of serving, living, in the business of living and outworking God's wonderful will. That's our business. That's why you get out of bed. That's why you go to bed. That's why your eyes work, your legs work, your heart works. That's why you do what you do. And you learn that so that the reason you exist is to allow the living God to honor himself. And it's up to God to take care of the body, which, what? Belongs to him. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which belong to God. So we're going to do it. We're going to practice it. Business. And in the business, and we're going to have burdens. You're going to have them. You are. And I'm going to help you with burdens. Burdens, they're going to be there. I'm going to go and have you go and cast all your care upon me so that you aren't going and you've got all kinds of things you're worried about, right? All kinds of things you think about. And you hope about work. You don't know how they're going to work. You got them all in your head, right? Okay. Cast 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he is caring for you. So we're going to take all of that, because we got a whole lot of stuff in here that we got. And we're caught up in it, worried about it, wondering about it, all of this. Hold it. We got too much in there, and we got stuff we shouldn't even be bothering with. It doesn't mean you're to be irresponsible. It just means don't bother with it. It isn't that uncritical. Get in the stuff that is counting. The rest of it will work out fine. Don't worry about it. You know, you can drive your car to work tomorrow or something and worry, say, boy, I wonder if I'm going to get a flat tire. Should you be more conscious of watching the traffic and driving to work, instead of sitting there, I wonder if I'm going to get a flat tire. You know, and then you think flat tire, and you even concoct a blowout. I could get a blowout, and your hands go up in the air, and the wheel goes spinning, and you do get a blowout. You understand? You should have been paying attention. A lot of things we do. So God, we're going to look to you to help us. That's right. There's things you need to be praying and conscious of, and the things you don't. If you've got too many things in your head, you lose them. Therefore, Matthew chapter 11. And in Matthew chapter 11, picking up, if I can, that which you are familiar with. And I'm going to go directly, if I can, in 11, going to pick up where we were in Sunday school, I think, in resting, R-E-S-T. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. God's command, come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy, weighty things, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, if you don't come far enough, if you don't get to God, you don't get rest. We said that in Sunday school. You can't rest if you don't go that far. You can say, Lord, thank you, but you got to get to him. If you don't get to him, you don't get any rest. So you say, well, that doesn't work. No, it didn't work because you didn't do what it said. Come to me. You got to come. Come unto me, all ye that thirst, and etc. You got to come. You got to get to me. Get to God. So now, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest, a wonderful, wonderful refreshment, relaxing, a rejuvenation for you. And then when you're resting, now is it all over? Oh boy, free and easy. Nope. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And remember the yoke, think of the yoke, animal yoke that they plow with, if you've seen them that. And the plow and the head of one ox goes under one end, and the loop on the other end, and then you put the other ox in the other end, and you put the ox that knows what he's doing and knows what to do on the one end, and you put the ox that's sort of stupid about the whole thing, you put him on the other end. And then the ox that knows just, and the other ox has got a thing locked in the yoke, and he just goes, and he learns to do. Now, that is what you need to do. You want to learn of me. We started off like that. Your head, body, your family, you're raised, everything disappears. It isn't going to stay around. It's all condemned, all gone. So God, here we are, and we're going to go and learn of you. might add, we're going to learn about your yoke. So here's all the burdens, God. What am I going to do? In work, home, school, play, easy, hard, much, little, health, wealth, pain, headache, heartache. What am I going to do? I want your will. That's what my assignment is. To do the will of my Father. As a son. That's my will. That's the Lord is the head. I'm the body. We're the body. And we exercise that. That's our whole assignment. So whatever it is, we want God's will. In work, home, school, play, today, tomorrow, and the next day. And how it works out, God knows, because he has all the pieces, we do not. And therefore, we go with God 1 inch at a time, down the corridor of time. And as we go, we are putting our head under the yoke. He's on the other side, and he's going to take us down the road. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his great name's sake. So we're going to go. We're going to look to God. He's taking me down the corridor of time. And as I go down the corridor of time like that, I'm going to go. And God is going to go and help me so that I don't worry. Don't worry. It's a command, a sin. Don't worry. Philippians 4:6. Casting all your care upon him, etc. So I put all that a little bit together. I'm not supposed to worry. I'm not supposed to want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So I'm not supposed to want, and I'm not supposed to worry, and I'm not supposed to wander. And I'm supposed to learn to be content in whatever state I'm in. So I got to learn that. And in learning that, I'm going to go down the corridor of time. And God, you're going to have to help me work, home, school, play as I grow and go. And therefore, I'm going to learn. And the burdens are going to change. I want your will. That's what I have to carry. I don't have to carry some other thing that I dream about or try to get myself into or out of. No, your will is what I carry. So God, when it comes to my body, my health, my wealth, coming and going, God, that's what I carry. The rest of it, I don't carry that. It isn't relevant, and God, it isn't going to get in my way. Because I want your will for my life as I go down the corridor of time, and that's what I'm going to have. God, because you're God. And I must be about my Father's business. So I'm going to be about my Father's business, and my yoke, I'm going to learn of you. I have to redo my whole burdens so that I don't have to worry about everybody and wonder about everything. I don't have to do that. There's plenty to worry about. All things are... The global things that are terrible at the moment, they aren't going to get any better, so be of good cheer. You know, Russia over there and off England with the ships of war and Russia down in the Ukraine and then sending the missiles. They can shoot what? The missiles, I don't know, all of it like you do, missiles. They could shoot down 100 things at once. So if you shot them with 100 missiles right now, to get Iran's nuclear, they would shoot back and knock them all down. They have a sophisticated Russian missile system. They could do 100 at once. Wow. So already, if they get that, they don't need a nuclear bomb. They already are in control. And they've got to keep going. Anyway, all of that, wow. Now, all of that's there, but I'm not in charge of that. I'm certainly concerned. I'm part of this world. I want to be a testimony in it, and I want to be alive and well to show forth his wonderful grace in these days. But, so therefore, for I am meek, verse 29, meek, so God, are you going to beat me up? No. Is God going to do some mean things to you if you want God's will? No, if God's going to send me to the weirdest jungle to sit and watch big snakes ride up me and down. God, I'm not going to, God's going to do that. God is always right and he's always reasonable. We are unreasonable. God never does unreasonable things. They're always right. If you being evil fathers know how to do good things, what do you think God can do? See? Well, no, God, no. Hold it. You got to redo God. You got to understand. God isn't going out to get you. He isn't out to crush you. He's out to make you. make you strong, 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 strong. So you have to go through that. And that's what you have to do now. So in the process of that, in the process, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. So God, if I learn this, if it's a lesson. God, I'm in the business of carrying. I have to, in your business, and I'm in the burdens. And I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. And verse 30, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So God, whatever I thought I could make very heavy burdens, verse 28, your burdens are heavy, true. But I do not put heavy burdens on you. Whatever I do in your life, in my will, I'm on the other side of the yoke to lift it. I'm on the other side of the yoke to pull the load. You don't pull the load, I pull the load. I made you co-laborers. I made you able to share my wonderful work and will. It's a privilege. Now enter into it. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So God, when it gets too heavy, hold it. I'm not. How much am I looking to you? Because it can't get that heavy. Not that heavy. Nope. God, and let nothing come to us, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that is more than we can handle. That's your will, God. So now, God, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so here is his wonderful word and will and burdens. And we have all those burdens, you know, that have come there. And I think we said a little bit, so you got the burdens. And then you've got, of course, the battles. And you said battles, battles. Well, if I do your will, God, will it be peaceful? Absolutely. The peace of God which passes, which I have, will give you, so you don't worry, will pass all understanding. So I'll take care of that. But in the battlefield, I want you to know, you're in a battlefield. And when you get saved, you never realized such an old nature that you have until you got saved. And then you realize your lousy old nature that rebels. Think how hard it is to do what we're just saying now, to walk out the door and practice this. Think how hard it is. We rebel against it. We push it aside. That's war. War in the soul, 1 Peter. We don't want that. And you don't even know how lousy, your old nature, mine, anyone's, how bad it is. Until you start trying to do the will of God properly, then we, you get people riled up. Because that's what, it's going against us. It's war. And you have to understand it's a battlefield. So when you get saved, you got no burden, you got your burdens better. That's true. You're in the Father's business. But there's battle, lots of battle. And you're in a terrible world that is the world system is against God. Religion is against God. So here we are. And all of that comes together. And it makes for a very, very wearisome thing. When do we go on? And you know, if you were at headquarters, if you ever think of battle, and here's headquarters. And here's headquarters sitting there, and they're mapping out and thinking what to do with the troops out there. Now, here they are doing that, and they sit there and have a cup of coffee and McDonald's hamburger and everything. Where are you? You're out in the trench. And there's no coffee, and there's no hamburger, and nothing. You're out there, and that's where you are. But they're back there setting it all up, and you're out in the battlefield. Out in the battlefield. We are seated where? Ephesians 2, 6, 7, we're seated where? In heavenly places. You're at headquarters, but you're on the battlefield. We are absent from the body and present with the Lord ultimately. But right now we're here and we represent him on the battlefield. Men love darkness rather than light. We're right in the middle of it, the thick of it. And we're going to say, well, why can't people just do good? Or why do all these things have to happen? Or why this? Or why that? Or why am I like I am? Etc. That's because you're on a battlefield and God has saved you out of it, but left you in it and in it. So you're a winner, but you're going to go through battles that you could lose, bumble through them, and you don't die. You just learn the College of Hard Knocks. And that's how you grow up. And if you went through the College of Hard Knocks good, then the experiences will help you in good stead. And you'll be able to do exceeding abundant above all that I ask you to think. Because I've been through the battle. I've been through them. I've been in them. So let them come. More of them. I survived. I didn't fall in them, fail in them. I won. I'm just saying that. You understand? So now, God, here's the battlefield. And what do you know from, we don't have time, actually. But in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, that our warfare cannot use fleshly weapons because our opponent is a spiritual opponent. How do you hit the devil? Tell me how you go after a demon. Tell me how you stop false doctrine. How do you overcome communism, cultism, Mormonism, etc., 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 etc.? How do you do that? How do you stop things? You don't. You don't. You try to be salty to restrain them. You try to be a light to slow it down, but you don't stop it. So God, here's the battlefield, and our warfare is our warfare. We can't use human flesh and blood weapons. No, God, we're going to have to look to you. That's why the burdens are light, and we're in the Father's business. The Father is in battle. Truth against error, right against wrong. Wow. Heaven against hell. Wow. As it were. Opposite. So now, God, here we are looking, and we're on the battlefield. And go to Ephesians, if you would. We've got closing. We've got to quit. But hope you got a little bit to get the idea. It's a wonderful thing. I'm in the Father's business. I want to understand it, and I want to exercise it. Where did I just say? Ephesians? Okay, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. And you know it. I'm just going to pick it up. You won't miss it. Verse 11, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God. Now, why on earth do I have to dress like that? Why couldn't I just have a nice, peaceful little garment on and float through the air? Because, God said, you're on a battlefield. So you need to have the peaceful garment, but you want to make sure that over it is the armor. You want to make sure you're with me. Don't be ahead of me. You're under my yoke, going with me. The battle's mine if you're with me, and we're going to win. So don't worry about it. I don't want you to sweat, worry about it at all. And thus, in the process, in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the deceit, the strategy, maneuvering of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. What for? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having them on the breastplate of righteousness, etc., etc. Wow. So, God, you want me to be dressed like that? I do. I do. I'm going to do one of that for you. From head to toe, I'm going to protect you. From the top of your head, where you think, down to your very toes, where you walk. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to trust me like that? Uh-huh. That's what you're going to do. You're in my business? I'll take care of you. Remember when he sent the disciples out two by two to be his witnesses in village after village? And they did all kinds of things. And do you know what they said? And know what he said? Among other many things. Take nothing with you. Don't take an extra pair of stockings. Don't take an extra dollar for a hamburger. Don't take anything. Just go out the door as you are, and I'll take care of everything. You will lack nothing as you go up and down Palestine. the towns. You'll lack nothing. Nothing at all. And they didn't. They came back and said, we lack nothing. We didn't lack anything. Ah. So God, as we do that from head to toe, you're going to, I am. I'm going to keep you in perfect peace, and you're going to go in a battlefield. And it isn't a picnic, and it isn't fun, and it's a lot of dirty, lousy stuff out here. But our assignment is to be his witnesses and be little lights in the darkness. Over to closing, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And very quickly, verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Remember going to the mall where all the center of commerce is, the mall, and where all the stores are and people are buying and selling. And you're going to go there and you're going to redeem the time. You're going to exercise. You're in the middle of it. You're in the middle of the thing. And people are coming and going, buying and selling, and you're in part of the world system at work, home, school, and play. Absolutely. Redeeming the time because why are we going to be very conscious of what we're doing? Because the days are evil, bad, but bad. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. In other words, the Spirit of God's ministry is to see that you go forth and you have all the benefits of being a son and all the benefits that Christ has made possible. And in the process, verse 19, 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And the thick and thin of it, it's hard. It's sometimes hard to sing, but you do it. And you trust God. And the key, verse 20, giving thanks always for all what? Things. It doesn't say some things. It says everything. It didn't give you a choice. Well, what about this and what about that? No, in everything. Give thanks, verse 20, for unto God, that's who we're thanking, and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A, for what? Are you a son? Are you part of the body? Are you in the family business? You ought to be very thankful 24 hours a day. So when you sleep, God never does. And when you have to go to work, home, school, and do whatever you do, God, you got another assignment that's taking place at the same time. When you seem to do nothing, you're doing everything. Well, I'm in the family business. I'm a partner in the business. I may be sitting back in the chair, leaning, doing nothing. But I'm in the office. I'm in the Father's business. I'm exercising the Father's will, and I enjoy God's wonderful, wonderful grace, and I don't seem to be doing anything. I sit like that sometime. I said, boy, I'm not doing anything, God. You know, I don't do anything. I don't. You know, it gets sort of bothering. You know, wow, now God, so that I'm going to look to you with thanksgiving. That's correct. It doesn't say anything else. I ought to be very thankful of my relationship. And that's how I learn to pray different, think different, and it comes out different. And if I don't do that, I'm stuck in the muck, around and around and around. I don't go anywhere. I go to my marriage, my home, my job, my work, school, hoping for something better or work out, and I miss out. I missed out on what it was all about. It wasn't about anything except you, God. That's what it was about. Well, anyway, I'm sorry, over. But you may have a particular request. Remember the conference coming up? If you would, if the Lord tarries and we get the